for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Welcome on in to IUP Plus today, our streaming episode. We are glad you are finding us, whether it's on News for Utah Plus, our free streaming app on Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV, or maybe you're on YouTube right now. We appreciate you watching. We have a bombshell ruling that we got to talk about here in Utah. Yeah, mind blown when it comes to what has happened in Utah politics over the last 24 hours. I should note I'm running on 4 hours sleep. Because I definitely stayed up to wait for the judge's ruling.
Probably 11, was it 11:50?
11, PM, yeah, 40:50, something like that.
Still technically Monday. Hey, it was released Monday.
It was November 10th.
There you go.
But my favorite part was the deadline. Everyone, I think, was looking for it like at 5 p.m. End of business,
guys.
And actually,
here in the newsroom, I can say yes.
Right. Where it was like, I guess, end of day.
So was that intentional, do you think, that she sat on it until just a few minutes before the start of a holiday?
Please don't impugn anyone. You have no idea her motivation.
I thought it was possible she wanted everyone to be asleep.
Yeah, I think so. This seems like a late night Friday press release at when a congressman does something embarrassing.
Bad news.
Just try to put it out and get it buried by the weekend.
Just it was on Monday, so now here we all are.
Right. That's right.
Happy Veterans Day.
Okay, yeah, same to you guys. Taylor Morgan, Leah Murray are here. Appreciate you guys being here. You're the perfect people to come break down this redistricting ruling. We're going to talk all about it, all the issues at play, what our new math is going to look like, all of that. So let's start with this. One of the criticisms that I'm hearing about this map, it's not even the map, well, the map is getting criticism, but it's more the judge doesn't have the authority to choose a map. Taylor, let me start with you. Do you agree with that sentiment? Basically, the GOP here making the argument that the Constitution provides that the legislature shall divide the districts and the judge is not the legislature.
Yeah, this is really messy. And there are, I think, good points on both sides of this argument. Technically, it is correct that the Utah Constitution does very specifically, very clearly give the power to draw maps to the legislature. I don't think there's any question, there's any argument about that. However, Prop 4, which passed in 2018 and is now the law of the land following previous rulings, following compromise has been joined. We know that. So the initiative language is still in effect now. That sets up some certain requirements for the legislature to adhere to when they're drawing maps. Now, that language has been tested and has held up in terms of constitutionality. The state Supreme Court last year essentially protected the intent of the sponsors with that language. And so fast forward now, we have Judge Gibson essentially saying, well, yes, the Utah legislature constitutionally does have the power to draw the maps. They're the sole entity that has the constitutional power to draw maps. However, they have to do so following statute. Mm-hmm. And according to the judge and the plaintiffs, the legislature did not do that. And fast forward, that's why we are where we are.
Yeah, so then the question becomes, what happens if the legislature, who is supposed to draw the districts, doesn't or violates law when they do that, Leah?
Yeah, I mean, I think the kind of institutional answer for me here is the legislature was found to be behaving really not as a good faith actor in this whole conversation, right? It is not just rulings. It's not just a case. These are two institutions that have been going back and forth, the judiciary and the legislature in our state, over a number of issues. I think this is just the most maybe combustible, most recent one. But absolutely, they've been having a conversation over the extent of legislative prerogative, I think, for a while.
And for at least a year.
Yeah, and a little bit, this judge, I think, is just laying it down. You were told what to do. You didn't behave. And now at the last minute, I am just going to throw down the gauntlet and say, I'm not giving you what you want.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, Leah, because that is essentially the heart of the matter here. That is the underlying issue, is the power in Utah constitutionally to make and change law, right? That is the issue at stake. As I mentioned, the Supreme Court ruling here in Utah last year protected essentially the citizens' right of initiative and protected the intent of initiative sponsors when the legislature essentially undoes initiative language after the voters have approved it by a majority plus, right?
You can't overturn an initiative unless you have a compelling government interest or reason.
And so by not following the Prop 4 redistricting guidelines in statute, Judge Gibson essentially has ruled that, well, your map is invalid. Because even though you have the power to do it, you did not do it statutorily in compliance with state law, right?
Yeah. Right. So Can anyone walk me through sort of, and I can if you can, it's fine.
Her reasoning
for why MAPC violated Proposition 4. What did she say in her ruling there?
You're going to have to interpret this one
okay.
for me.
Okay, so basically what she said is that the legislature created a handful of, three tests to determine partisan fairness or partisan symmetry. And she essentially agreed with the plaintiffs that those tests would forever favor Republicans. And so she said because of that.
In a Republican state?
She said because of that, that MAPC unduly favors Republicans, and that is not something allowed.
I think there are some good points there. I don't think she's entirely wrong about that. And look, I'm not an attorney. I'm not a judge. I'm not going to discredit a sitting member. A sitting judge here in Utah. I want to respect her and her opinion.
Yeah.
It was thorough. I disagree with it. But I, you know, I think that she does make some good points there. What I really get concerned about is where this goes from here, right? This map. Do we have a copy of the new map that we can pull up?
Yeah.
And our viewers will quickly, immediately see this map does not pass the eye test.
Looks like in a hole.
Yeah. In college.
Taylor, it looks just like the map from 1990s.
Well, what I was going to say, in college, when I was learning about gerrymandering and what gerrymandering was, I'm pretty sure maps exactly like this were in my college textbooks, right? Saying, oh, this is obvious, blatant, clear gerrymandering. This doesn't even pass the eye test. Now, I know that that's a little superficial. We're going to get into it, but come on.
Yeah.
Come on, everybody, right?
Okay, let's get into it, shall we? So the question is, does the plaintiff's map that the judge has put forward, is that a gerrymander? Before you guys answer, because I know Leah's going to point out that there are two forms of gerrymandering, cracking and packing, right? And
ooh,
this,
that's pretty packed.
This is the alleged example of packing Democrats in one Salt Lake County area. Peter, play this clip for me. This is the lawyer from the plaintiffs who spoke to us this morning. And I asked him this question specifically. You know, the criticism of his map is that, first of all, it's a donut hole and not a pizza pie that includes a little bit of urban and a little bit of rural in every district. But also it does, if it does just that, I asked him whether or not it does just that. Does it put all the Democrats in one area and kind of pack their power into one place?
To the criticism that, well, this must be also a partisan gerrymander because it has a district that looks like it might favor Democrats. What the court found and what the expert evidence showed was that that is the natural result of Utah's political geography, where you have a large proportion of the minority party concentrated in a single place. And so it shouldn't have been surprising that when you actually comply with the criteria that voters put into place, that is going to be the natural result. That is not a partisan gerrymander. Partisan gerrymander is taking a state's political geography and manipulating it so that you do not have the natural result.
Leah, go ahead. What do you make of that?
I mean, I think again, what did we say earlier? We don't want to disagree with lawyers or judges, but I'm just going to say what? Like, a gerrymander is when you are drawing a district in such a way to guarantee an outcome. And one of the ways that you guarantee either a political minority doesn't have power or it does have power, what you said earlier, Lindsay, when you are cracking it, which is what we've had for the last 20 years, mm-hmm. I'm trying to think, or maybe 10.
Splitting up Mill Creek four
right.
ways could be, that was cracking.
Cracking,
right.
And now what you yeah. have is it is packed, so you take this political minority, you put them all in one place, so that you are guaranteeing, almost, a Democratic congressperson.
Okay, so what do you make of his point, though, that he's saying all of the Democrats just happen to live in Salt Lake County, so.
One, I've met
District
Democrats
1 is not
places.
All of Salt Lake County. Right. District 1 is not all of Salt Lake County, though. How do those Democrats in the rest of Salt Lake County in the southeastern district there, how do you think they feel about
being combined? They're part of Utah County because they're like,
let's see, we have Vernal, Provo, St. George, San Juan. These are communities of interest, right? I thought Prop 4 cared about communities of interest. Didn't the plaintiffs talk a lot about the problem with the previous maps is that they divided communities of interest? I mean, this is...
Right,
wow, this
district,
is egregious.
Wouldn't you argue that District 1 there, that little donut hole, all of those people in that district are a community of interest? That they kind of live in this urban core, they kind of have the needs of the urban
center? But again, we divide the urban core and the Wasatch Front up among all four districts still, right? But what we are doing is we're packing all of the Democrats, and not just the Democrats, but all of the very progressive Salt Lake County residents are all packed into one district. This district, District 1, would be a Kamala Harris plus 24 district, if there you can even fathom such a thing.
So this
district would be more liberal than 6 of Massachusetts' 9 House districts. That is not Utah.
You are fiery today.
This district does not reflect Utahns or even the residents that live within that district. This is an egregious gerrymander to benefit Democrats in Utah. I just have to say it as I see it.
Yeah, and a little bit, just to push back, not on Taylor, I apologize,
okay,
Lindsay, but on you. But like when we look at that yellow district, those are communities of interest together that
sure.
I would argue are not communities of interest. So the point I'm trying to make about a gerrymander is you get some rules. Prop 4 gave some rules, and then we read them in such a way that helped Democrats or hurt Democrats. Either direction is a partisan gerrymander.
Yeah. If a map unduly favors one party or another, right, with the way the map is drawn, then it is a gerrymander.
It violates
this is the legal definition of a gerrymandered map. And frankly, the plaintiff's attorney, bless his heart, he actually just defined it for us right then. He called his own map a gerrymander by his definition.
No, he didn't.
He did.
He said it wasn't a gerrymander because this is Utah's natural geography, is what he said.
That looks like Utah's natural geography.
He said that the natural following... I'm just repeating what he said. I'm not arguing for this. I'm just saying that he said that these people who live in District 1 are there naturally, and so this is a natural circle of these people.
I think he's making my argument for me, is my point.
I mean, a little bit, I guess I would argue, if Taylor's numbers are right, and I'll just believe that they're right, the district is a plus 22, did you say, for Kamala Harris?
Or it's a plus 24 Kamala Harris.
Okay.
There's a lot of different ways to measure this.
Right, but even saying there, that doesn't seem like a natural reflection anywhere in Utah, right?
You have to cherry pick and pack and do crazy things to find that much support in Utah for Kamala Harris. Come on, people.
Mm. Correct.
Interesting. Okay, there's going to be much more to talk about this map. Let's move on to another issue that's come up after this ruling came out, and that is impeachment threats of both the judge and the lieutenant governor. A lot of criticism online of the judge, State Representative Matt McPherson, a House member, also saying he's open to bill file. I haven't checked to see if that bill file is actually open. He is just one member of the House. This really has to come as a total House push with the Speaker obviously being on board. Taylor, what do you think? Is impeachment appropriate here? And is the threat of impeachment appropriate here?
No and no. And, you know, we've talked about this on our show previously. And this is, you know, as a Republican and as a Republican here in Utah that works a lot with our Utah legislators, our Republican leadership, my concern all along, which I've expressed, frankly, you know, to them and here on the show, is that they just have not handled the public relations, the communications, the politics around this redistricting case as well as I think they could have. I think the threat of impeachment that was made on the Senate floor on October 6th was totally unnecessary. It did not help. I think that isn't the way you persuade a judge who will be considering the map you just passed, right? It's just not helpful. And certainly now it looks like sour grapes. It looks punitive. The Utah legislature has just, they need to take a step back, take a deep breath. We'll see where this goes. But ultimately, this is all happening, I believe, because the Utah legislature has not responded well to criticism or to difficult positions. And they have been unnecessarily combative and punitive. I think they can do better.
Right. And I guess I would also add to that. Now the conversation is about whether they're doing sour grapes, whether it's punitive, when they start talking about impeachment, rather a conversation around, is this actually just a party, you know, gerrymander in a different direction? And so now what we're talking about again is the legislature behaving in bad faith? Are they not, right, like kind of being a part of this conversation in a way that anyone would expect grown-ups to do that, right? So now the conversation is everything Taylor just said, rather than a, I think, real conversation around whether these districts are good, well-drawn districts, and quite frankly, whether the judiciary should be drawing the district, which I think a good argument could be made for judicial activism, right?
Yeah.
So that you're kind of like, this is actually not their job. If she didn't like it, she should have sent it back to the legislature for another round, which have been horrible for a whole host of reasons.
Right.
But her doing this was probably a problem.
Well, that's what we talked about earlier is what is the remedy if the legislature doesn't draw the map, right? And the plaintiffs are arguing that the judge can pick one And the legislature is saying, no, you got to kick it back to us. But there's no time to kick it back to us. And then Republicans also say, well, that's because the judge waited so long on the ruling. We would have had time if we were talking about this in July instead of November.
Right? Yeah. And that's a lot of just petty back and forth. He said, she said, although Judge Gibson, did wait until 11:50 last night to issue her ruling. Also took 13 months to come out with the initial.
Have you
decision.
Talked to her? Do you know?
I have not. So that's a good point. I know you're being snarky and sassy, and I love it. I appreciate it. I there's
you
never.
You can impugn any reason.
I agree.
You have no idea.
And we don't need to get personal about anyone.
No, but we could
anything,
talk about the consequences, right? Lindsay.
Sure.
So we can't say why she did it, but man, 11:50 when we all thought at 5 p.m.
Yeah.
And man, we're having this conversation 4 seconds before we have to have lines ready so that the lieutenant governor, like the cascade effect of that, we can talk about those consequences.
Yes.
Right?
And Idra is moving ahead. She's posted today that she has no choice but to move forward and to start working with county clerks around the state to start preparing for elections using these maps. And again, these are just the congressional districts impacted here because, of course, the plaintiffs only care about getting a Democratic seat in Congress and not interested in real map drawing here in Utah. But all of that said, we are moving forward with this map. We'll see what happens. I think there's a good chance it might be overturned, but we'll see.
Will you drink one less Celsius?
Oh, I've had a lot of caffeine today. I'm sorry. Can I make one last point, though? Are we out of time here?
No,
we have 1 second? Peter's laughing at me.
Just go ahead.
Okay, everybody.
We are clear to keep talking.
Let me just take a moment here as the guy in the middle here. Try not to mansplain. But what I really worry about with these districts, all four of these districts are not competitive. They're not even remotely competitive. The Republican districts are now far more Republican than they were before. Previous maps, we're talking R+12, R+18. That's a plus Republican score in those districts. These maps, these three, are R+50, right?
Yeah.
The Democratic seat, that district won, that district is way too liberal for a Ben McAdams to win, okay? It is incredibly, extremely liberal in terms of its voters. So here's what we have now. We have four non-competitive congressional districts. We are going to have four members of Congress who are trying to reach out and placate and win support from the fringes, the extremes in both parties, the centrists, the moderates, really the everyday Utahn. I worry is going to be left by the wayside here because all members of our delegation are going to be campaigning and speaking to the fringes. That's not good.
Yeah, Leah, how do you see? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. And I think I threw this in the chat at some point in the last 24 hours we've been talking about this, is Arizona's commission had a charge of making their seats competitive. Now Arizona is like one of the funnest states to watch in politics. They are purple. They are just always fighting. Everyone's like paying attention. Good content for everybody. And our, you know, I'm just telling you what, I think I said earlier, we're having the wrong conversation. Our commission should have charged, or excuse me, our Prop 4 should have charged, make our seats competitive.
Yeah.
Right? Like have it be the case that every single seat from the top of the ballot down to the bottom of the ballot is hard to win. Make it to the case that centrist Republicans, centrist Democrats, centrist Utahns would see themselves in the people who are running, would take the temperature down, right, in every conversation that we're having. And quite frankly, competitive seats are better. Competitive World Series is better.
Yeah.
Competitive football is better.
No, free market. All of these good Republican principles, Lee. Absolutely. Yeah.
All these good American principles, Taylor Morgan.
Touche.
But a little bit, so I agree with him. But again, I would say the conversation I would have to back up to like 2018 and say when we were writing this Prop 4, couldn't we have charged our commission like Arizona did to look for competitive seats?
Yeah.
Okay, I want to get to one thing at the end, so let me ask you this last question and have you do it kind of quickly. How do you see the appeals process playing out from here? Because we know that there was already emergency stay asked on the merits of this case, like you got this ruling wrong. We want this halted. Now we're in the remedy phase, right? And the judge just said, you know, MAPC doesn't comply with Prop 4, and now here's the remedy. Can we issue a stay on the remedy, and do we do that, and how quickly? We can't really halt these maps for 2026, because which maps do we use? There's not enough time to our earlier conversation. How do you see this playing out?
That's the million-dollar question. That is the question everyone is asking right now. There is technically still a possibility that, whether it's the state Supreme Court or, you know, SCOTUS federally, could potentially issue some kind of a stay on these maps.
But how quickly?
So the current maps stay in effect for 2026. That would have to happen really quickly, right? I know that the legislature and the state is going to pursue every option they have to try to appeal. But again, those efforts have not yet been successful.
Yeah.
Right. And I'm going to just tell you what, campaign started like this morning, right? So the answer is we are assuming that these are the districts, and a little bit you're changing later changes the landscape.
Yeah.
So all these questions kind of become moot a little bit.
Democrats, close your primary. It's going to be something people actually want to vote in this time around. It's going to be crowded. It's going to be hyper crazy and competitive. Yeah. You're going to have very, very liberal candidates like Nate Bluhin, you know, Kathleen Reby, others, even Aaron Mendenhall, perhaps, jumping in for this thing. It's so on a positive note, if these maps do continue to be in place, this is going to be the hottest Democratic primary Utah's ever seen. So buckle up.
We are going to have a lot to report on, that's for sure. Okay, finally here on our show today, we got to give a huge shout out to somebody that you may know her work, but you haven't seen her face. Her name is Marina, and she's our intern. Marina, get over here. Oh, there you are. Yay!
All right.
Okay.
Big news, big news.
Hold it up. We want to give a shout out to Marina because she just got engaged.
Marina is running for Congress in the first day.
Is she a Democrat? What is she?
No, I would never say that. She's our intern. How dare you?
So she's not partisan, wearing a gorgeous ring.
Also, a nice student in my Weber State class.
Yep.
Proud of that.
She goes to Weber State.
We got to see the ring. Did we see the ring?
Come here. Come get a close up. Come here.
Get this
come
in here.
Come over to my side. Look, here. There's a camera right there. Put it up. Oh, yeah. There it is.
Really nice.
Oh,
I like that.
So pretty.
It's real, right? It's real. Yeah? Of course it's real. Yeah. I'm just, you know.
Is that ring cheap?
No, it's obviously not cheap. It's amazing. Yeah.
What kind of
I've got to
is
meet
that?
This guy, Marina.
Is it real? Yeah. You don't ask a girl, is it real?
Is he a Republican?
But, oh my gosh, we don't ask that girl that either.
That's Taylor.
Clearly you're Taylor.
I have questions.
None of these questions.
The viewers want to know, okay? People want to know all the details.
Okay,
right?
Well, we have about 90 seconds, so let's just wrap and say that this has been a bombshell ruling. This is really shaking up Utah politics right now. I anticipated that this ruling would not come at 5 o'clock. Like, I knew it was going to be late last night. This has happened before.
Yeah.
But, Lindsay, didn't you think it would be Map C? Like, I felt
because I was in all three court hearings. Okay.
Right.
So the last court hearing, the judge kind of gave some signals that she was picking apart the legislature's logic a little bit. So I did get a sense that she was kind of critiquing them a little bit more than the plaintiffs. So that's the only reason I kind of wouldn't be surprised. But the whole time I was thinking, if she doesn't pick Map C, heads are going to explode.
Yeah. Hijinks,
so,
right?
Like,
yeah.
So
I think legislators gave her some good reasons to not pick Map C.
Yeah, well, they've spoken out a little bit. I've talked about how disappointing it is and how they don't obviously like the map that was proposed. But we'll try to get some more reaction from them, some more live interviews to talk about how they're feeling about all this. But for today, we appreciate you watching. We hope we've broken this down for you enough to kind of make it digestible and really know all the impacts of our new congressional lines. So we shall see where all this goes. Producer Peter, love you. Appreciate you.
As ever, thank you, folks, for a very special, very important episode.
Next time.